Google is making an aggressive push into the hardware industry. Today at the company's high-profile Made by Google event in San Francisco, it announced a new line of products, including a virtual reality headset, an at-home search assistant, and its first branded smartphone called Pixel. Here with more is our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Johanna Buya is senior editor at Recode. She joins us from San Francisco. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And let's talk about this phone. Some people may hear Google's announced a new phone and think, why is this a big deal? So why is this a big deal?
I mean, up until the Pixel, Google basically hasn't had its own phone in the same way Apple has, you know, had an iPhone. You know, typically Google has partnered with companies like Samsung and HTC to sort of co-develop a phone that operates on the Android system. Pixel, for the first time, you know, is Google's phone. They'll be partnering with a company like HTC, reportedly, to sort of assemble the phone and manufacture it in the same way that Apple partners with Foxconn. But now this is the first real Google phone.
But I imagine that companies like Samsung are not going to be happy to hear this, given that Google, Google's operating system is on their phone.
No, definitely. I mean, it's no secret that if, you know, Google now owns a product and is now developing its own product, that will become the priority for them. So I don't think that this is great for them, though, you know, access to Android OS is not going to be cut off.
So why did Google finally decide to make its own hardware?
Yeah, during the event, they talked about this quite a few times. Rick Osterloh, the new head of the hardware division, mentioned a number of times that there is such a huge opportunity in controlling both the software and hardware end of it. And you could see in the phone that they talked about how, you know, the difference or the different ways that, you know, pressing down the home button sort of activated different aspects of that the software and some sort of features and sort of how that kind of collaborated. And that's not an opportunity that Google didn't have previously when partnering with other companies.
Google also announced today a virtual reality headset. Tell us about that.
The virtual reality headset, I mean, I think of the hardware that they've announced was a little bit less exciting, although it is completely different than in terms of the aesthetics than other virtual reality headsets that we've seen. It's created using cloth. Their comfort is really prioritized in the creation of it. But I think what was really, really exciting was kind of the Amazon Home competitor that Google announced, particularly because Amazon sort of went into this market that Google has owned for so long. You know, search and categorizing all of the internet's information is what Google is at its core, and it's what it does best. So to have Amazon kind of go into the market with a product like Alexa and Amazon Home, it was a huge, huge problem for Google, because if another company is owning that search space and owning that machine learning space, Google is at risk of becoming irrelevant. But the product seemed pretty promising and on par with Amazon's Home product.
And you've gotten, by the way, way ahead of me in terms of where I am with the technology of my home. So what does this product do?
In the same way that Amazon Home sort of controls, or you can say Alexa, you know, please, you know, play this music, play that music, Google's product also does that as well. But it also controls, you know, Chromecast. You can use your phone assistant to, or it controls things on your phone. And so it's a single assistant across all of your Google devices.
While we have you, you recently got a tour of Google's self-driving car. What did you find there? Because they're not the only one trying to do a self-driving car.
Definitely. I mean, Google has had a self-driving car, you know, project since 2009, and they've been working on this for a while. So, and a lot of people have been exposed to what the Google car looks like. But what was interesting to me is that the technology has developed so much in the time that they've created it. They basically started like Tesla, you know, trying to solve for autonomous driving on freeways, but then realized that you get the most benefit from self-driving technology when you're able to drive everywhere. And driving everywhere requires that you're able to not only interact with pedestrians and understand their behavior and then predict what they're going to do, but also kind of communicate your intentions. And then in order to be able to communicate that intention, you have to sort of take on the implicit language that humans use when they drive. So edging forward, you know, trying to merge into lanes by edging into that lane. It's definitely very interesting in how sophisticated the technology has gotten.
And the Google cars have been involved in 14 collisions, although 13 times other drivers were at fault. Are there still safety concerns with Google's self-driving car?
Ironically enough, self-driving technology is going to become safest in 40 years when all of the cars, you know, are self-driving. And so right now, Google and all the other companies who are trying to create self-driving cars are solving for this near-term problem where self-driving cars will be driving along humans. And so in that situation, you know, you basically want to be able to, you know, like I said, communicate with human drivers in a way that they understand, but also predict their behavior, which is a difficult problem.
That's Johanna Buya, who is a senior editor at Recode, as we watch what's coming out of the Google event going on in San Francisco. Johanna, thank you.
Thank you.